That's the latest Melbourne traffic. It's 24 to 9.
You're listening to John Fain on 774 ABC Melbourne and on digital.
The huge expanse of land in Valuable Kew that used to provide the Kew Mental Hospital with its lush grounds has, over many the lives of many governments, been subject to gradual redevelopment. In fact, you could almost say it's become a suburb within a suburb. But as people have bought land in the redeveloped Kew Asylum site, they've been reassured by the amount of space reserved for parkland and guaranteed future open space as part of the amenity and livability that they were buying into. So you can understand their distress at what they thought was open space and parkland being rezoned for medium density development. The Kew Cottages Coalition, which consists of not just parents of people who lived in the institution when it was there, but also many of those who have bought in since the institution has been redeveloped, the Kew Cottages Coalition this morning raise another issue which they say deserves closer inspection. Brian Walsh is from the Kew Cottages Coalition. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Take us to the beginning. What land are we talking about?
We're talking about the parkland, the open space immediately adjacent to Studley Park, which is in turn next to the Willsmere Tower. So it's the ridgeline of the Kew Cottages site.
How large a space are we talking about now?
Well, in terms of the little area, which is sort of called Oak Walk at the entrance, it's, you could say, an acre of ground there, which has up until now on all the plans been labelled as open space, reserved public land, open space.
Until now, so what's changed?
Well, what we've now learnt, John, after seeing that a planning application went in from the developer for a new high-rise on the site, is it's emerged that Major Projects Victoria has signed up with the developer to help them get the planning approvals for this part of the site to be used now for high-rise, something that the Premier, Dr. Napthine, in his position as Minister for Major Projects at the time in 2012, categorically denied what happened. He said that all high-rise had been cancelled.
How high is high-rise?
Well, they say it won't go higher than the height of the Willsmere Towers, which, you know, you can sort of see from 20 miles away. So in terms of the number of floors, they're talking about five-storey apartment complexes.
They may argue that's not high-rise, it's low-rise.
Well, Premier Napthine, in his statement, he referred to the five-storey apartment blocks as high-rise. That's how it's been seen, I think, because it's on the ridge line, and that was his definition of what had been cancelled at the time. He cancelled five-storey apartments that were probably only about 100 metres away from where these were, but the ones that he cancelled weren't on open space. They were on land which is sort of now being built on, and what's always been expected to be built on.
What's wrong with the state government saying to a developer, well, if you want to build something, well, there's land, you can go through the normal development process, you can seek planning approval and off you go?
Well, it would be nice if that was simply the case, but as you're probably aware, John, and many people unfortunately aren't, Kew Cottages is a special case. It's like these areas that have been called in by the Minister in the case of Kew Cottages called in many years ago, so there is no review process. There is no process that one could go to VCAT, for example, if the Minister for Planning came up with a decision that the local residents didn't like. He is the ultimate authority. The government is both the vendor and the planning authority at Kew Cottages.
So the government sells a park, sells it to a developer and says, but you've got to get a planning permit for this, and we're just doing whatever is necessary with the planning process, but the government, through the Minister of Planning, is in fact the entity that issues the planning permit. So it issues it to itself.
That is correct. And the irony and the sadness is that when in opposition, the coalition went to the last election identifying what it saw as scandalous backdoor processes like this as having taken place before and promising it wouldn't happen again.
Who's the developer?
It's Walker Corporation, a New South Wales-based developer that has had a significant history of difficult decisions with governments around the country and large political donations to governments around the country over the last 10, 15 years.
Governments of different parties?
Different parties, both...
So they're very ecumenical. They donate to the Labor Party when it's in power. They'll donate to the Liberal Party when they're in power.
Well, not only when they're in power, John, in the case of Kew Cottages, when things started getting difficult, because although the opposition wasn't in power, it could start pushing for inquiries. You may remember there was an Ombudsman inquiry, an Upper House inquiry. When those inquiries started, then Walker Corporation started making large donations to the Liberal Party.
So in essence, we have a park that's reserved and people have bought into Kew Cottages on the strength of this space continuing as open space and parkland. We then have the government selling it through a contract through Major Projects Victoria to a developer who then applies for a planning permit from the minister, who is the sole decider on whether or not the permit's to be issued.
That's correct.
And in the contract, the government say, well, you have to get planning approvals, and nothing in this clause imposes any obligation on us to issue a planning approval, but there's no process for public objection or an independent authority either.
That is correct.
What conclusions do you then draw? The minister is listening and will join me next.
Well, the conclusion is, can the Premier's word be taken as face value? Can what one's told about planning in Victoria be believed when it's a statement from the Premier of Victoria? Would hope so. But in this situation where contracts are signed in secret that say something else, where public servants and some other ministers set off on a different course that one knows nothing about, who do you believe?
The Premier now, who was the Minister for Major Projects then, is the point. Brian, let's see what the response is from the government, and thank you for bringing it to our attention. Brian Walsh from the Kew Cottages Coalition. Matthew Guy is the Minister for Planning in the Napthine State Liberal Government. Mr Guy, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
Is this matter an active application that you're considering at the moment?
It's an active application that's been submitted to my department, so it's not with me yet, and I would make one point very, very clear. I actually tried to give the responsible authority on this site back to the Boroondara Council, but the contracts which were written for the Kew Cottages redevelopment, written by the previous Labor government, prohibited me from doing so. So when people talk about handing the power back to the council to decide on this permit, this government actually tried to do so, but was limited by contracts that had previously been signed.
As matters stand, the Kew Cottages Coalition say this was designated open space, now it's being targeted and earmarked for development.
Well, that might be correct, and that's a developer's application, but it's not a government decision. So,
but the government sold the developer the site. The government's going to sell the site to a developer and then not issue a permit.
Let's be factual on this. The previous government negotiated a contract for the sale of that site. I haven't signed off on any sale of land to that site. That's very, very clear. As I said, I actually tried to give the responsible authority powers back to Boroondara Council on this site. What I would say is that if there's an active application in which I understand there is, that obviously everything is considered, policy is considered, the council's point of view would be considered, we would write to them, and of course the decision that would be made is one that you would have to take into account the structure plan of the site, understand the structure plan, which was again approved by the previous government for this site, but also the view that we didn't want high-rise at that site as well would need to be considered. So there's a whole range of points that have to come into this, and I don't see it as a quick fix or a quick decision.
Quite frankly, Minister, it's unimaginable that the government, whichever party's in power, would sell to a developer a site that then is not granted a planning approval for.
Well, so long as it's in keeping with a master plan where buildings were going to be, I think that wherever buildings are planned, then you have a discussion about where they'd be. If you have open space that's planned, then the open space should remain. So without having the master plan in front of me, my point would be that so long as the area was designated as an area for built form, then I'd be comfortable with it. If it was not, then, you know, we'd need to have a one-for-one offset of open space at the site that's going to be changed from the original master plan. But again, I say, I didn't approve the master plan. The previous government did. I didn't approve the development conditions. The previous government did. I'm happy to give those powers back to the council if I could.
It's often useful as an exercise in instances like this, Minister, to follow the money. Walker Corporation has made significant donations to your political party and also to your opponents when they were in office as well. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Those donations aren't given without something coming in exchange.
I think that's, with respect, extraordinarily crass and extraordinarily offensive. That is not the case.
Well, in what way is it not? I don't think it's crass. I think it's realistic.
That is absolutely not the case. Planning permit decisions in this state are made on a basis of merit, full stop. They are not determined on anyone donating a single cent to any political party, certainly mine. Anyone who makes that assumption otherwise is, as I said, making a crass and unrealistic assumption. I know it's easy for people to, in a conspiratorial world, think that, you know, we either hide UFOs, killed Kennedy, or take money for donations, but the reality is that is not the case in the state of Victoria. People might want to go to New South Wales to make those accusations, but you make them in Victoria and you find themself in court.
Well, in fact, I'm on pretty safe ground, Minister, because in making that comment, I'm only quoting the CEO of Walker Corporation himself, who is on the public record saying that the reason you make donations to political parties is because you get access and you get cooperation. Well, he's on the record as saying that. I'm only saying what he says.
Well, John, I haven't approved any development application there that is outside any master plan. I have, as I've said to you before, tried to give the responsible authority back to the council on this site rather than keep it for myself. We have been very active in seeking the City of Melbourne's point of view on every major permit coming through the Central City process, which is very, very different to previous governments. And the reason you see debate around the Central City issue with the council nowadays is because I inform them when previous governments didn't. So
am I still crass?
Well, I think it's quite crass to actually say that people are effectively making decisions on the basis of money. If Walker Corporation or anyone...
Well, that's what they've said.
Like,
I'm only saying what they've said. So are they crass too?
Well, yes. Anyone making that comment is, John, because in Victoria we do business on merit in government and we make meritorious decisions when it comes to planning applications that are put forward to me that go through a long process in my department. And my department will make an analysis after conversation with local government and there is a simple, straightforward brief that comes to me as a result.
So New South Wales property developers have corrupted the political process and it's the worst and most rotten state of affairs since the Rum Corps. But here in Victoria, we're squeaky clean.
Well, John, I don't care what happens in New South Wales. I'm not the New South Wales or Queensland or Western Australian Planning Minister. I'm the Victorian Planning Minister, and we have a very straightforward, meritorious-based system. If someone would like to point an example to me otherwise where decisions haven't been based on merit, or in the CBD where we send all our permit applications to the Central City unit of Melbourne City Council for their point of view. I meet with the councillor there in charge of that every so often to discuss what he's on his desk and how we can work together. I mean, people seem to say that things are done underhandedly. Well, show me the evidence. I hear all these claims, but I'm yet to see a single piece of evidence. A lot of claims, no evidence, and that's the case in planning. I accept that, but I don't see, again, any form of evidence to any of these claims that are made.
Phillip Island, Minister.
Well, what on earth has that got to do with talking about political donations?
No, to do with matters going according to merit, you said. Yeah, that was all
right.
Politics.
Well, John, as I just said, we speak to the council. We actually spoke to the council beforehand. So, you know, you answer your own question for me again. I speak to the council in that instance. I spoke to the council beforehand in relation to Surf Coast matters. I speak to the council in relation to every major permit coming through the Central City area.
And you spoke to Liberal Party insiders, including people who had nothing to do with the planning process, in order to try to deliver an outcome that suited people who were of great influence.
John, with great respect, I think your interview is struggling, and that's why you're referring to this matter. At the end of the day, when it comes to Central City permits, or indeed like Kew Cottages, they are permits which I would always speak to the council first. And I say again in relation to Kew Cottages, I tried to hand this material back, the responsible authority status, back to the council to be the responsible authority. I tried to give it back to the council. But the contractual arrangements signed by the previous Labor government prohibited me from doing so. Brian Walsh knows that. The Kew Cottages Coalition know that. They know I tried to give it back to the council. Burundara Council knows that. And it's a very, very straightforward decision.
Will you make a decision between now and caretaker mode commencing?
Well, if the department send a brief up to me for my decision, I have a period of time in which to make a decision. Otherwise, it times out and then the proponent can go to VCAT. And people forget this.
So the answer is yes, if you can, you will. And this is an exercise in clearing the decks, is it then, Minister?
No, it is an exercise in running a government. It's running a government on decisions based on merit. And so if people come in and make decisions, they need to be based on merit. Now, if anyone in Walker Corporation on that permit is trying to change what exists in the structure plan, then they better have a very good example of a very good reason for it. And as I said, my view is always on matters like this that I would seek the point of view of the council, and on this one I see no difference.
So you would well contemplate issuing a permit for Walker Corporation for this previously open space to be developed between now even and caretaker mode commencing before the November election?
Well, with respect, please don't frame me on something that I haven't made a decision or even got a consideration in front of me. What I would say is if there's a structure plan that has been put in place, everything must be in accordance with the structure plan that has been put in place. The structure plan was approved by the previous government and has been nearly 5 or 6 years old.
A couple of quick things, Minister, if we can, and time's running out on us, but should Victoria contemplate following New South Wales's lead and Queensland and banning developers from making donations to political parties?
I'm not sure why you'd criminalise one section of the business community over another section of the business community.
Not criminalising it in any way, just saying, well, it's an unhealthy distortion of the political system and you need to quarantine the process, the parliamentary and approval process.
If it's illegal to take a developer's donation, then it's criminalised. And in New South Wales, that is the case. And if you're going to criminalise one part of the business community, I fail to see why on earth you wouldn't do it for other parts. If you're going to do it for one, you know, it needs to be consistent and reasons of common sense. Look,
so all that's happening in New South Wales is what? It's inappropriate, unnecessary, and it should not be happening that way with ICAC.
I would have thought you'd say that the probity measures in New South Wales put in place by the Greiner government are actually working. And I would have thought that's the
first point. But you don't want to follow them?
Absolutely not. In Victoria, we do not. No decision here is made with any level of patronage attached to it. They will only be based on merit. That's why my department receive every brief first. And that's why my department gives me a thorough analysis of every permit that comes through to me. And more have been knocked off than you realise.
Well, it would be interesting to go through some of those and try and, as we do from time to time, collate a list of approvals against donations to have a look at donations against rejections would be an interesting exercise. Would you be prepared to release that list?
Well, there's nothing to release, John. If you want to have a look online, it's all material. Again, this is a conspiracy theory.
It's very hard for anyone material outside the system to collate that material.
I'm not going to do your homework for you, but those materials available on the Department of Planning's website about permits that have been put in, and the AEC puts in lists of political donations. So the two of them are very easy to marry up. And I'd simply say the Windsor Hotel and those who owned the hotel at the end of top end of Bourke Street, the Palace Hotel, well, they're two very good examples of buildings that haven't gone ahead.
And have made political donations?
Well, I wouldn't even know that, to be
frank. Well, that's what I'm saying. It would be interesting to compile, in the same way as occasionally lists are compiled of people who get approval matched to political donations, it would be interesting to see if indeed there is a list, no matter how short, of people who make political donations but still have their projects rejected.
You could do the same thing about the trade union movement and, you know, projects on which they have been given a good site agreements on. I mean,
yes.
You know, I'm sure you could go and find all this kind of
and
stuff.
And we have an equal interest in all of those troubling instances when they occur, and quite rightly they're being ripped apart by the Royal Commission into Trade Union Corruption and Governance.
Yeah, well, I just say again, John, decisions are based on a meritorious planning system. It goes through a long process in my department. In the central city area, we certainly speak to the local government, to the planning committee of the City of Melbourne. We wait for them to write back to us with a formal point of view, which is why a lot of their councillors make comment on these applications, because we give them the applications to make comment on. Previous governments didn't do that, but we actually do, and I think it's important for the City of Melbourne to make comment on those applications, whether I agree with their point of view or not. I want them to be able to be in the public space to have that debate, and they do that, and I think that's healthy. And it's a valuable piece of the planning jigsaw, irrespective of whether or not it is, you know, something I agree with or not.
And just finally, since I have you on the line, and I think you are, like the rest of State Parliament, wondering what's going to happen with Jeff Shaw this afternoon. What are you expecting?
Always a nice note to finish on, isn't it? I don't know. I don't think anyone knows with anything with Jeff in that sense. I hope he will just do the right thing and apologise to the Parliament as the motion that was passed some months ago asks him to do, and I think and I hope he would do that on the basis of respect for the institution that is the Parliament, and of course the fact that it represents nearly 6 million Victorians. It's not about apologising to the 88 other members of the Legislative Assembly, it's about to the people of Victoria, and that's what's important.
But then the Nathan government will have to try to coexist with Jeff Shaw through until Parliament finishes.
Well, if that is the case, then this is democracy, and this is the Parliament that was elected by the Victorian people in November 2010, and we operate in that Parliament until the Parliament's prorogued later this year for a state election. So that is what would have to be if that was the case. And so I hope Mr. Shaw abides by the terms of the motion that was passed by the Assembly, Legislative Assembly.
It's been a much longer interview than we expected, and I'm sorry to have intruded into your busy morning, but thank you.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, John.
Matthew Guy, Planning Minister in the Nathan government. I've got 200 text messages. They fall into two camps. There's one represented by the "you're struggling, quit now" type response to me, through to the, I might say, two-thirds of the text messages along the lines of "we need a better anti-corruption body and we need it now." Dave in Albert Park, good morning, Dave.
Good morning. Listening to this conversation feels like deja vu.
Because?
The Royal Commissions of the 1980s into the Education Department set up the Land Monitor. Last week when I spoke to the Land Monitor, he only had one staff member and he had a part-timer. It looks like it may go the way of other government departments. This department, in its time, stopped a transaction for a $100,000 transfer of the Victorian Education land in Sydney in the main drag.
Shonky deals. Time's tight, Dave. So.
Yeah, sold it for $20 million. We stopped an Education Department transfer up at Broadmeadows for $150,000, resold that for $5 million. You're really just going to repeat the same mistakes of previous governments. If you lose the property policeman, the land monitor, then it's very easy to get crooked transactions through the system.
All righty, good on you, and thank you. And Leslie in kind. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, John. John, an issue in this that concerns me is that if the government has a piece of land which it wishes to sell, it needs to capture the full value of that land, and
yes,
which it obviously would reflect the amount of floor space that you can get on the land. And for the government to sell a piece of land to someone who's going to take a fairly dim view of that and allow for the minimum development in the price and then give them the permit that doubles or trebles the value is just giving away taxpayer money.
And there's another item in one of the papers this morning, and I might say it's not remarkable, but it happens all the time. You buy some land, you seek approval, you get a permit for something, and then you sell it to someone who then gets a permit for something bigger,
yes,
which increases the value of the land. That's called flipping. It's been going on forever. If you can do that, well, you make money out of seeing an opportunity where other people didn't see it.
Yes, and I think the government has that. We have professional planners employed by government and councils. They can decide what sort of building envelopes should be put on the land and how many units or houses or floor space. And if they're going to sell the land, sell it to get a price that reflects its development potential.
Good on you, Leslie, and thank you. The conversation will continue, and also after the news, a one-month wait for the dole instead of six might be possible. It's 9 o'clock.
Good morning, Tim Callinan with ABC News. The opposition's foreign affairs spokeswoman, Tanya Plibersek, has backed the federal government's decision to supply arms to Kurdish forces in Iraq's north. In the next few days, Australian aircraft will start delivering weapons to Kurdish troops fighting Islamic State militants. Iraq's ambassador to Australia says the weapons should be delivered to the Iraqi government in Baghdad instead. Ms. Plibersek says the operation is being conducted with the clear cooperation of Iraq's government.
This isn't a case of bypassing the Iraqi army. It's a case of providing weapons to a fighting force that is on the ground, effectively preventing massacres.